Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
At West Palm Beach's Nats Spring Training Complex, Grant and Danny on the Fan welcoming you back. Jason Wirth joins us in a moment.
As Washington prepares this offseason to protect its star quarterback, what are you doing to protect your family's assets? As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condor and Morad can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Jason Wirth delivered one of the great swings in Nats history in Game 4 of the 2012 NLCS. Of course, an all-star and a World Series champion in his major league career, joining us now in West Palm Beach. Jason, I don't know what to say. We talked to you at the Super Bowl. Now we're talking to you a few weeks later after, you know, 12 years of not even having any interactions with our best friend, for longtime friend of the program, Jason Wirth. You're about to become the third host of this show, Grant and Danny and Jason.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Good to be here. Good to see you guys. And long time coming.
What's your role this week? What are you doing? What's kind of the program?
I don't know. I'm here to find that out. I told Mike last year that I've been away long enough. I'm ready to kind of get back into the game. I miss it. I miss it enough to come back around. Obviously, I think some guys may have, go around and do other stuff with other teams, but I'm a Washington National. Obviously, I got some ties to the Phillies, but it's still the same staff. Mike's still here. The kids are all different, the players are different, but I feel like I'm a Washington National, so I'm here to help.
Are you answering questions? Like, will they come up to you knowing, oh my God, Jason Wirth, and ask you questions, or is it more like casual than that?
I think a little bit. I think they were a little afraid of me the first day, and I talked to them yesterday. So then they kind of softened them up a little bit. Then they're starting to come around and ask me stuff. But I think that's what I want to do. I want to be able to help the players. As a player, you typically don't want any help. That's kind of the thing. You don't want to hear from anybody. You want to go out there and do that. So I got to respect that. But if somebody needs something, or if somebody has questions, or they just want to talk about, life in the big leagues, life after the big leagues, we'll see. I think the role for me here with the Nats is yet to be defined.
So there have been, several milestones throughout, Nationals history. I think your signing here is one of them. Go back, it's amazing how long ago that was. It's 14 years, I guess, right? How's the game evolved since then? I mean, it's still some fundamentals are the same, obviously, but it just feels like everything's different. There's so much data. Just what are you noticing from players, and, kind of compare it to your time?
Yeah, for better or for worse, right? I think some of the stuff is overkill. But I think, some of the stuff that they've kind of, they figured out, they've quantified it. They figured out what it means. And when I was my last year in 18, I went and played for the Seattle Mariners, and I got to extend the spring. I didn't sign until April, and I got down to extended spring, and I'm hitting in the cage, taking flips, and their minor league everybody has all these like titles nowadays. Sure. Yeah, and some kid that obviously looks like he's never played baseball. Maybe he knows something about baseball. I'm not sure.
He's watched a game.
He's definitely watched, and he's analyzed. And they've got this TV. I think it's called Hit Tracks or something. So every swing you take, they quantify or measure all the statistics and analytics off the batted ball. And so I get done, and he's like, "You want to take a look at your cage work?" And I'm like, "Okay." And he starts talking to me, and he's telling me all this stuff, and it's like mumbo jumbo. I don't even know what he's saying. Finally, I stopped him, and I was like, "Don't ever talk to me again."
You said that?
Yeah, I'm like, "Don't, you're gonna put me in a slump." Like, the season hasn't even started yet. I'm like, just don't talk to me. Like, please. Like, I don't. So some of that stuff, that's kind of how I feel about it. But this is the new age of baseball. But also, I do know that baseball is cyclical. So some of this stuff, that has come in will be weeded out. And already has a little bit. The one thing I do really like that I didn't think I would like is the pitch clock. So I'm like, baseball's timeless. It's not. There's no shot clock. There's no, we're out there until it's over. But what it's done is it's reinstated the internal clock in the player's head. So you're back to that. Come on, pitch it in there. Kind of the game my grandpa played. Like the game that he liked to see. And so it's sped up the game in a good way. And I don't think it really doesn't have any bearing on the game. It's just now the players, like, that's their internal clock now, and it's changed that, and for the better. So for a fan, for the players, for everybody involved, the pace of the game is sped up, and I think that's a good thing.
Noted analytics savant Jason Wirth on Grant and Danny. So I read this book about data in baseball a couple years ago, and they had this really cool idea of teams are hiring what they called conduits, which is like a player who's super into it. And when you told that story, I what I thought of is like Sean Doolittle is this guy here in a lot of ways, where sure, he's way into the data, yep, but he was a great closer. And if Sean comes up and talks to a reliever who might not like data, I think there's a better chance than if a dumpy guy like me walks up, pushes up my glasses and says, "Mr. Wirth, your swing path," or whatever, right? So I guess my question is, like, do you buy that, where it's like Daniel Murphy, as an example, could be that conduit?
Sure.
Where would you be more receptive to talking to him about it than, like, me, who hit .214 in Little League?
Yeah, I don't think it matters who came up to me and said that. I just, like...
You would hate them.
Well, it's not hate them. I just don't want to hear what they have to say. I mean, just... Because, you play the game, one way for so long, and then out of nowhere, here is this, Right. That's basically what I'm saying.
Yeah. No feel, right?
If there could have been a cloud of smoke, it would have been
I've never heard a vehicle make that sound, and it made it right there.
That was a very Nationals golf cart. It probably they need a new golf cart.
We call that Nats, baby. But good stuff. Man, only the best here. I don't know, and again, like, this is where you get away from the game, and then the game changes on you, and then you come back in, and you're kind of out of touch. I think that's probably a little bit more accurate of what's going on. But I do know the game. It's still baseball. I'm a third generation big leaguer. I grew up listening to my grandpa talk about this 50s, 60s, and 70s. I watched my uncle play in the 80s and 90s, and then I played in the 2000 and the 2010. So, here we are in the 2020s, and it's like, it's still the same game. It's changed in some regard, but at the end of the day, we're it's round bat with a round ball. You got to score runs. You got to figure out how to win. So, as the game evolves, the players evolve. The thinking has to evolve. But it is. It's cyclical. It all comes back around. So some of the stuff that they're talking about, that they're using some of this data, it'll get thrown out. It's just one of those things. So as the game goes, we go.
So it's, I think it's an interesting sort of push and pull there, right? Because what the number guy, the, who can look at any kind of bit of video or data or whatever, they don't know what it feels. They don't know the feel of like when my front foot hits, does my weight going forward or whatever, right? And there's always got to be that balance because I can know every bit of data in the world. I can't hit 98. Like there's that doesn't matter. So you still need that instruction. Where is the line and where should it go? And like, how is it different maybe for you than it would be for like one of your teammates that wants the info?
Yeah. So I've got a great story that I heard, and you know, it's a little inappropriate, and I might have to edit it. But it goes something like this: like, you know, the analytical guys, they can look at all the analytics and they you know that have never played, and they say, you know, the hitters have a lot of success when they pull the ball in the air. Right? No kidding.
Right? Just do that.
Right. And so they say they get the coaches around. This is, you know, this is kind of like this. This is how it goes. Guys, if we could teach these guys to pull the ball in the air, you know, we would have more success. We win more games. You know, it's just the data proves that. Right. But how do you get there? Right. This is like, you know, this is like telling a you know, telling a guy to walk in the bar naked with a, you know, then, you know, that's basically what you're telling, you know, like, no kidding, that's where you want to be,
right.
You know, but maybe, you know, take, you know, teach them how to like, you know, have a conversation and buy a girl a drink, you know, and, you know, have a little, you know, maybe hit the ball the other way or stay, you know, have an approach or something. Like you just, you know, yeah, we know that's where you want to be at the end of the night, but like, you know, this is, it's just not. It's just you got to know how to get there, right? And that's part of the problem here is they don't know the approach. They know the end game, but they don't really know the approach. And I think it's a pretty good, although a little, you know, out of the box thinking on that sort of thing. But it
wasn't the analogy I thought of.
But it plays. You know?
Yeah, it plays.
It's accurate because it's that type of thinking. You know, that's kind of where we're at in this whole thing. And I think sometimes that's the disconnect between, you know, the front office, you know, I call them the twirly birds. You know, it's like the kid that's carrying all the books. It's got the weird hat and the little spinner thing on the top. You know, that's these guys, you know. I mean, they've never done it, so they don't really know. They can tell you the data, and sometimes the data is useful. And, you know, for a guy like me, I can look at this and be like, oh, okay, like I understand. Okay, so to get there, we got to, you know, do, you know, ABC, XYZ. Mm-hmm. So that's where the, I think there's some give and take and some push and pull, like you say. I did, you know, when I got done playing, I started playing golf, and they have those machines that you put behind you and you
track man.
There you go. And you quantify it. You can feel what you're doing and you can see it right away. And that was the first time I've ever used anything like that. But, you know, the sport was new to me, and then the data was helpful. So I think as, you know, as these kids are coming up and they're using this, the data when they're young.
So if you were your son's age, maybe you would be into it.
Yeah, or younger. You know, yeah. I think if you start with it, it's one of those things that it could make sense. But, like, you know, to try to, you know, get a dinosaur to, like, you know, use a treadmill or something, it's like, it's just, you know, it's not really going to. It didn't work for me, and I don't think I needed. I had all that data kind of in my head, you know. So, would it help at a younger age? I'm sure, but you know, for me to come in at the end and try to, you know, make sense of it, it just didn't.
Jason Wirth on Grant and Danny. So you like the pitch clock? I love the pitch clock. What about the challenge system and automated strike zone, which we're headed toward? How do you feel about where we're at there? Would you want fully automated or? You like it out the old way?
No. I think I love, you know, the umpire, the human element of the game is what's great. I think, and this is my opinion, I don't even know if this is a opinion that people have already, but why not use all this data on the umpires and create a system where you have the umpires, there's a ranking system with the umpires, right? You can pretty much tell who's the better umpires. I did hear that the guys in AAA that they're getting, they do 3 days with it, and then 3 days without, and that makes a lot of sense to me because now they're seeing pitches and they know right away if it's a ball or strike, so they're getting real time data, and then they're becoming better umpires. So I think that system's great. In the big leagues, I think it's you know, let's do a situation, a system where you grade the umpires, and then the top umpire makes the most money.
All the way down.
All the way down. And then the bottom umpires get relegated to minor leagues. I know the umpires union is probably going to be against this, but, I mean, let's get the best umpires in the game, and then you know, and then the best umpires get the games that mean the most. Like, I mean, that's when the games are on the line, the games are, you know, everything's in the at the highest state. Let's take that human element out of it as much as we can, but then we also keep it in. And then the guy's rewarded for being the best.
Most of us know who a lot of the really bad umpires are too. Like, and players know better than we do.
CB
Buckner. Yep. So I was going to bring that up. So for those of you that don't know, Jason's doing a new podcast, which you should check out, with Sean Kelly. It's very entertaining, and it's a bit of a wild ride, I will say. You never really know where they're going, but I've enjoyed it.
Well, it's called off the rail.
It works. but I asked this because CB Buckner came up, and you unloaded the clip a little bit. Your least favorite umpire, I would imagine, was C.B. Buckner. I've always said Angel Hernandez was the worst, and he's now out. But Buckner's a guy that seems to have a lot of run-ins, too.
Yeah, you know, that's part of this whole thing with the human element. Like, there's a relationship there that when you play every day, these guys are around. And when you play for a long time, the umpires don't go anywhere. So you got to, I mean, there's a mutual respect between the player and the umpire. And I don't want to say, like, that you're going to get any calls because of that relationship. But if the umpire doesn't like you, you know, he has the ability to, you know, stick it to you. And for whatever reason, I don't know what I did, but C.B. Buckner I definitely didn't get any calls from C.B. Buckner, and the relationship was poor. And he's a bad umpire on top of it. And he was really bad for me. So for me, he's easily the worst. I mean, he's the worst across the board anyways. But for me, there was an attitude. There was a poor relationship.
Like, you think he actively just didn't like you?
He was out to get me.
Yeah.
You know, and I...
Did he run you at all?
No, I didn't get kicked out of games. I towed the line a lot. And I probably talked more smack to umpires than anybody without getting kicked out of games.
How do you do that? Just not saying certain words, or...?
You can tell when they've had enough.
Okay.
So you get them all fired up, and then you just shut it down. And that, like, maybe that was the case with CB, that I just went too far too many times. But a lot of the umpires respected me because of it, you know, because I would tell them how I felt, and get them to that point where they, you know, they were ready. But I wouldn't go over that. I wouldn't cross the line. And a lot of the umpires have told me, you know, they've said that you do it the right way. You know, you don't show them up. You don't give them bad body language. But you can have a conversation in the outfield. And, you know, a very professional, you know, pointed conversation. And then when you're on the plate, I had a great way of getting my point across when I was hitting. To let them know that I didn't like that call, or that they were...
I see guys talking. Are you saying, like... Hey, like, what do you say? Is that, can they go further out? Or, like, what are you asking?
No, see, that was the thing. There wasn't a conversation. It was me telling them that they sucked. Like,
really?
It was me telling them that wasn't close. And I wouldn't do it, like, on close pitches, because as your eyes are, you know, you don't have a best angle. But you can go back in the video room and see the overhead. And so you can go and be like, all right. And you know what pitches are and are not. But when it wasn't, and I knew I was right, They heard about it. You know, and it wasn't being nice, because that's one strike against me. It doesn't matter to them. You know, they're at the time, their grading system didn't do a whole lot. They got the report at the end of the day, and they knew they saw it, and they're like, oh, okay. You know, if I said something and I was wrong, well, then I made a point to go tell them the next day and apologize that I was wrong and you were right. But then I think that sort of relationship is important. It's not only important for you, it's important for the guy behind you. It's important for the guy behind him. It's important for your team. So if you're a dick and you treat these guys bad, I mean, that's coming back not only to you, but it's coming back on your team. You know? But if you're like, hey, like get it going, get it right. Get the ball on the plate, you know, and you like, you know, his dad stands him up a little bit, and like, you know, if that's the end of it, he wants to, you know, as a human being, you want to be better. So, like, you're like, oh, man, maybe I missed that one. You know, that guy doesn't ever say anything unless it's right. You know, so that sort of thing with the umpires, I think, goes a long way. And, you know, like, it drives me crazy when I see these kids in the minor leagues and they're like, oh, they throw their arms in the air and, like, they do all this bad body language. Like, what? You think that's helping? You think that's helping? You think it's helping the guy behind you? You know, like, I've had those conversations with those kids. I mean, there's a winning baseball is more than just scoring runs and you know, being a good player and beating the other team. There's so much to it, you know, and winning's hard. And, like, and we look at the team last year, they were 71-91. They're the worst base running team in baseball. If they're the best base running team in baseball, they're who knows what they would have done. You know, so it's fun. It's the fundamentals. It's the things you don't think about. It's the things you don't see. It's behind the scene things, stuff like that, that changes, you know, the outcome of not only a game but a season. And that's part of the reason why I'm here. We got a bunch of young kids that, you know, they're lacking a veteran leader on the team. And I think, you know, it might be the right time for this team, you know, next year maybe to have that Jason Worth, Adam LaRoche signing, you know, that starts to change the culture a little bit in that terms. But I think the talent in the minor league is coming. The talent on the team is here. And I think that's, you know, maybe that's why I'm here, because I see an opportunity.
Last one for me. I think one of the big reasons you touched on this, like dorks like us, want either a challenge system, electronic zone or whatever, is because of that lack of accountability you're talking about with umpires. Yeah. Like, if a guy's, you know, dog crap, doesn't matter. He's out there the next day. So, but you look back at, like, videos of the 90s where Maddox is dotting, like, a foot and a half off the outside and Eric Gregg is bringing people up, yep. You know? Like, it's gotten better, yep. And but, like, it's too hard. The velocity's too good. Movement's too good. Yeah. That's sort of kind of the thought there. Just what's your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I still think that, like, we can't just get away from the essence of the game, you know? My idea is, like, because in AAA, they do it for 3 days. They do. They have the automated for 3 days, and those umpires are back there calling balls and strikes, so they get to see. And then for 3 days, they have a challenge system, right? And then they get their grades. But what I'm hearing is those umpires that are coming up from the minor leagues are unbelievable ball and strike callers. So I think that's working, and maybe you keep that at the minor league to get those umpires, you know, at a level that's never really been seen before, because they're getting real-time data. And so those good ones, they come up, you can grade those umpires nightly, you know, and then the best ones become the best umpires. They get paid the best. I mean, that there's incentive of being good from the umpires, and then I think that would make the game even better. It would create this system of, like, oh, this umpire is the best. And really, like, I mean, who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want to have the best umpire is umpiring the best game? And that's just one more thing to talk about, one more thing to sell. And then the umpires that are the best, they get paid the best. I mean, I think that would be an incredible way to go about it.
Are you okay with, or where was your kind of mindset? End of your career, we started to see the shift, and it's really gotten further and further now, with celebrations, you know, individually, players, whether it's the pitcher, used to be into the glove maybe. Now, I don't know if you watch college baseball, but, like, dudes are basically army crawling off the field. And, I mean, hitters are, you know, the Padres last year, I mean, it Jerks and Profar in front of the Nats dugout kind of pointing at him as he's going down the line. And I was talking to K-Bear about it today. He got in his face first at bat the next night, which I loved, because I didn't necessarily think anyone on the team was going to do anything. And it kind of led to the benches clearing a bit. But even he was saying, like, we're not hitting him. You know, we don't want to hit the guy. Like, but someone had to say something. Well, 10 years ago, you just hit him. And I'm not for that necessarily, throwing 98 as, you know, maybe injuring him. But what's your take on kind of where we're headed in that regard?
You just hit him. Just drill him. I mean, you're going to disrespect a guy on my team or disrespect my team, then you're going to wear one. I mean, that's just how it is. And people say, oh, you can't hit people. Well, yeah, you can. It's really easy. I mean, you just line them up. Now, you don't want to hit people in the head, but, I mean, you know, you throw a pitch in a very small window and with purpose, that stops all that. Now, you know, that's part of the game that you let the players police and you let the players handle. The commissioner's office got way too involved in that whole thing, and that's what's led to this very disrespectful style of play. But that's, you know, I'm an old school guy. I've been around the game a long time and came up in that era. And, you know, people will disagree with me. But I feel very strongly about it. If you're going to disrespect my team, you're going to feel it.
And the do you watch college? I mean, do you see any of this stuff now? Like, if that's where it's headed, then I don't mind celebrations. I think personality's fun. But like, the stuff in college is way different than even what you see in the big leagues.
It's out of control. It's going to lead. What's ultimately going to lead to is fight. Like, people are going to fight. Like, that you're only going to take so much, and then the fights are what are dangerous. You know, getting hit by a pitch, that's a purpose. You know, but like the baseball fights, it's very unruly. There's no rules.
It's not like hockey where it's governed and
I think we could move into that, which would be better. Which is probably where it's going to have to go if we don't get a handle on it. But it's a respect thing. You have a mutual respect for the other team. You know, you can celebrate, right? But then showing people up and disrespecting them, there's a line there. And when you cross that line, like I don't appreciate what you're doing to my teammate. And now we've got problems, and now it's ultimately going to lead to fighting. So I think that I think we've got it wrong in that regard, and you can see it what it's spilled over to in the college and even like at the amateur level, like high school and even really? Even the kids now, they're just, I mean, it's just, it's outright disrespectful. So I do think that we got some work to do in that regard.
Jason Wirth at Nat Spring Training as an instructor, one of the longest tenured friends of the program. We go back many, many years with our great buddy Jason Wirth. We're talking about Wednesdays with Wirth, by the way. We'll send the paperwork over to your people. Every Wednesday, we're thinking from like 2 to 6:30.
I've moved on from things in my past, and now I'm a honorary coach, and I'm borderline media at this time.
Grant and Danny and Jason has a nice ring to it.
But check out the podcast Icon Racing Off the Rail Podcast. I think it's on Spotify and Apple Podcast. But I'm open to it. We're doing this new horse racing thing. It's been a lot of fun. We're bringing new owners into the sport. My syndicate is off and running, and we got some nice horses, and we're going to be doing this year in, year out. I got a horse running on Saturday at Turfway in the Jeff Ruby Stakes, Flying Mohawk. It's a Derby prep. You run one or two in that race, we're back in the Derby. So keep us posted, or keep watching and stay tuned. And I'm up for doing more of this stuff with you guys.
Well, it's a lot of fun, and you're good at it. Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Jason Wirth of the Nationals. Speaking of outfielders, Jacob Young is one of the best defensive players in center field in all of Major League Baseball. We will talk to the speedy Young Nat next on Grant and Danny from West Palm Beach.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Back in West Palm Beach, a special Grant and Danny Nats content throughout the program. Jacob Young, the starting center fielder on opening day, 25 years old, a former seventh-round pick, probably should have won a Gold Glove Award last year, Danny. He didn't, but now that he's an entrenched veteran at the major league level worth almost three wins of WAR last year, I think there's a chance he'll get some of that credit he didn't get last year defensively.
Could be a bit of an X factor, too, at the plate. And, of course, you know, for somebody that obviously the speed jumps off the page, you see him both in the outfield and stealing bases or beating out ground balls or making plays tough on infielders. So there's some upside here, certainly, with him as he continues to develop. But you would hope now that he's established and has the rep of that good of a defensive center fielder, he does get the recognition he deserves.
4 for 4, stealing bases at spring training. One of the things we talked about when we caught up with Jacob Young.
Joined by very swole Jacob Young.
Fitness influencer Jacob Young.
That's right. I was just saying, you do look physically bigger, like you've been working at it. But with all due respect, that picture overhyped it a little bit. You look like a WWE wrestler who was ready to fight for the heavyweight title.
Yeah, you know, I don't think it was AI, but whoever took the angle of that picture, like I said before, needs a raise. I need probably higher than myself for a media campaign, the way they took the picture.
But how hard was it? I mean, as a guy that's like athletic and sleek and thin and like not pudgy like us, to put on that kind of muscle and keep it on, it's actually probably harder than you think.
Yeah, I've always had struggle putting on weight. As a kid and just going into young adult, I've always had trouble kind of keeping weight on or putting on weight. And it honestly became more of a job than baseball does. It's just so much eating. You eat till, you know, you don't eat till you feel good. You eat till you can't eat anymore. It's kind of how I've been doing it. And a lot of late night snacks and just stuff like that to get the calories up as much as I can in the offseason.
The regimen, let's go through it. I mean, when you talk about eating, you're not just like doing our thing. We're like, oh, it's 2 quarter pounders. Can I get a third? Like, what were you actually eating and what kind of working out were you doing?
Yeah, you know, I did the same workout program the last couple of years. I've done it last 3 or 4 years with the same guys down in Jacksonville. They do a great job down there, and it's fun kind of hang out with them. But food-wise, a lot of rice and then whatever protein I want. So it's chicken, steak, whatever fish is kind of going that day, whatever the wife wants to cook, whatever we want to do. So a lot of rice, just high-calorie things that are easy to get down, but I can eat, don't keep me too full for too long.
What was the goal? Because obviously power is never going to be a big part of your game. It doesn't need to be. Like, what did you want to accomplish by getting bigger?
Yeah, it's all about sustainability. So that durability during the season. You know, the more weight you have, just the longer your body will hold up and you'll have less injuries. So just kind of, I know during the season, in spring training, I'm going to lose the weight. So put on a little extra so that when I do come during the season, I get back to a weight that's higher than, you know, what it was at the end of last season, whatever that number is, just trying to keep weight on and keep healthy.
Jacob Young with us here on G&D. So to that end, how do you translate it to baseball stuff? In other words, it's like it's awesome to be swole and strong and big and like I could do more on the clean, more on the bench press, more on the squats, whatever. But now, skill-wise, you don't want to lose anything, but you're trying to add. Like, that balance has got to be tougher than people think.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's, like I said, the health-wise of it, you know, is the biggest part of it. And of course, you can use that size to your advantage, the strength of it, and just learning to actually use that strength. You know, you know a lot of big guys that probably still can't do a lot of stuff with a baseball bat in their hands. So it's keeping that mobility, keeping different – being able to move and keeping the speed, which is honestly the most important thing for a guy like me. So keeping all that while also putting on good weight and good muscle and hopefully resulting in just harder contact and more doubles and more on base.
That's where I was going with translating the hitting, you want things to be easier. Does you feel like added strength sort of makes some of those things feel easier, where it's like you can be 80%, you can be kind of in control and still get a little more off your bat than going, I gotta, you know, muscle up here, max effort to get it to the gap. Now it's a little bit more smooth. Is that how it feels?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's just you're able to control the bat more. And then you're not, you don't have to, you know, maybe in the past, late in the season, maybe you have to go to a smaller bat to be able to control the barrel. Instead, now you can control that same bat, get a little more oomph on it, and be at a better weight and do it more easily. So those are the type of things exactly that, you know, that the weight kind of helps out and allows you to do things easier instead of trying to muscle up.
One of the best defensive center fielders in baseball, Jacob Young, is with us on Grant and Danny. Got screwed out of some gold last year at the end of the season. How do you go about trying to add defensively for a guy like you? Is it just sustaining what you already do?
Yeah, you know, I think obviously I do a lot of good things, you know, with first step and running down fly balls. Personally, I think I made a few mistakes more than I wanted to on simple things like ground balls that I either bobbled or, you know, clanked off that shouldn't have. So just, you know.
Is that like concentration?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, concentration, or maybe just, you know, maybe doing a couple more ground ball work, whatever it is. I mean, maybe it's my feet were going too fast. I just need to slow down. You know, I move fast doing everything, talking, moving. So slowing down doesn't always, you know, isn't always a bad thing, especially in ground ball, stuff like that. And then, you know, just I think arm strength, not even arm strength, but just, you know, being able to, I had some couple things that hindered my throwing last year that kind of were out of my control, but just being able to, you know, throw to bases better and control the running game more than I did last year.
Team goals, obviously, you guys want to be competitive, you want to win games, you want to be, you know, in the conversation. Personal goals for you in terms of next steps development-wise, what are some of the things that you're thinking about? Are you a numbers write them down guy and add them up at the end, or how do you approach it?
Yeah, I try not to add them up, you know. I think it's great to have goals and milestones that you're going for. But I think also if, you know, you start out slow, then you can start pressing and those things can kind of, you know, it can spiral you the wrong way. So, you know, the big thing for me is kind of what we've preached all of spring training and all off season is just getting on base more, trying to get that chase rate down. You know, it's not high necessarily, but it's definitely not low. So, you know, trying to lower it, that, you know, a couple more takes, a couple percentage points down, that's skyrockets your walks. So, you know, just trying to find different ways to get on base, different ways to, you know, affect the game. You know, if I'm on first, I feel like it's a double. So if I can just get on first base in a different ways is the big thing.
Jacob Young of the Nats. Last thing for me, I mean, as a seventh round pick who I remember seeing at Fredericksburg and thinking with all the outfielders in the system, you know, it's going to be a grind for you. Now you're the everyday opening day center fielder. I saw a guy at the spring training game yesterday was wearing your jersey. You
know, kids took a picture of that.
So that actually answers my question. Yeah. But my question was going to be, like, is that still cool for you? And, like, do you think about, like, that's really neat that a kid wants your autograph. Or is it kind of you're a big leaguer and you're, like, over it a little bit?
Yeah, no, you're definitely never over it. It's a cool thing, you know. Every time I think if you do start feeling like you're over it, you think about what 12-year-old you would think about you right now. It'd be pretty sick. Even if you're hitting 110, you know, your 12-year-old you still thinks you're pretty cool. So, you know, I know we just signed a bunch of stuff for, like, the Nats Foundation, and just writing your autograph on, you know, 6 baseballs, it's just a cool feeling that, like, people actually want these things. And it's a humbling thing, and it's a cool experience to know where all your hard work has come through, and you're getting to live out the dream of not only yourself, but your family members who have done all this, and your parents who have helped you, and your wife who's, you know, supported you throughout the whole thing. So being able to live out your dream and really just, you know, have fun doing it has been a blessing, and I definitely don't take it for granted.
You mentioned getting on first, you feel like it's a double. Well, so do we, as, you know, the people that watch games and fans do too. Are you a, like, craft of stolen base guy, or you just keep it simple, just, you know, try to get a jump and go, or are you, like, studying it in the lab, figuring things out? Which way do you go?
Yeah, it definitely started out as kind of like a, you know, I'm fast, let's go type of thing. And then I was, like, especially last year, they posted some new data through Baseball Savant, I think it was. So they posted some more data about, you know, just, like, even lead distances, jumps, stuff like that. And there's areas I saw that we can improve on, and so as we do that, you know, I've been more in the lab of, you know, not just the reads of the pitchers, which obviously important, you can get a lot of steps on that, but just what do I do least less efficient than maybe some of the guys that are stealing more bases or at a better percentage. So just looking at that and trying to work on those things and seeing where I can get better.
Have a great season, man. Thank you.
Thank you. Go Nats.
Jacob Young, who swiped 33 bags and played Platinum Glove caliber defense for the Nationals last year. We'll talk to another of the Nationals' best athletes, C.J. Abrams, their starting shortstop, as we continue our Nat special from spring training on Grant and Danny. Next, you are listening to The Fan.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
As spring training winds down for the Washington Nationals, they play the final few games they have on their Grapefruit League slate. They're getting ready to get back to D.C. This time next week, C.J. Abrams and his teammate will be getting ready for opening day in the nation's capital. And the 24-year-old Georgia native joins us now on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. The Nats starting shortstop coming off of a 20-homer, 31-steal season. C.J., how did camp go?
Yeah, camp went really well. You know, everybody kind of came in ready to go. So just kind of getting things together with the team, getting a tight group, and got some new faces. I'm getting ready to go.
You feel stronger than last year at this point? You look a little bigger, more muscular.
Yeah, definitely. I'm weighing in at like 200 pounds, which is all good weight. You know, I'm able to move it, and that was big this offseason, so paid off.
What were your priorities this offseason as far as trying to improve on last year? What did you zone in on?
Yeah, I wanted to get bigger, faster, stronger, obviously, you know, just getting better on all aspects of the game. You know, not many big changes on the swing, but did a lot of defensive work too as well.
CJ, I feel like that might be underrated how hard that is. You get bigger, but what got you here wasn't being big and muscular, but you're adding muscle to your game. You still want to maintain that, as you said, the quickness, agility, and everything. So you've been able to add the good weight, as you said, still feel the same at shortstop, still feel good, and then at the plate, what's different?
Not much, you know, at the plate, you know, just getting the at-bats, swinging at my pitch, you know, kind of giving the pitchers the gray areas on the outside of the zone, swinging at the heart of the plate. You know, that's what we've been working on as an offense. So, you know, I think it's going to show up in the season.
C.J. Abrams of the Nationals, ascending star off of his first All-Star appearance here on Grant and Danny. When you're going good, those 3 months last year where you put some numbers up, you were a top five player in the sport probably, statistically. And then there's the other months where you weren't at that level. What's the difference for you? Because, like, if you make three of those months, maybe 4 months, now your numbers are huge, right? Like, how do you know if you're locked in or not, or how can we know watching you?
Yeah, I mean, it's, like I said, just being a consistent. I was in the gym, you know, those first 3 months, kind of got tired and stayed out of it, but being in the gym, kept making sure my body's ready every day, and, you know, keeping the health as a priority will help me be consistent as well.
Mechanically speaking, is there something when you're going good that's, like, really locked in versus not? Or for you, is it more just how you're feeling?
Yeah, I think it's more mental, you know, just kind of at the plate, being disciplined. You know, the first 3 months was really good discipline-wise. The second half wasn't as good, so I think being consistent, like I said, would be a big change.
Obviously, team goals, you guys want to win, be competitive, and you know, kind of keep establishing yourselves. Personal goals for you this year? What I know you mentioned staying healthy, but are there numbers that you like to write down and set, or is there something else that kind of drives you day-to-day?
No, not. I just want to get the task at hand done, you know, being able to come ready, stay healthy, like I said, and then, you know, help the team win. I think we're going to win a lot of games this year, and I'm really excited.
Defensively, you make so many of the spectacular plays with the range at short. What are the areas of your game you feel best about? And then what are the areas you think, okay, this year I think people are going to see I'm even better in this regard?
Yeah, I think the range and making them athletic plays are good. You know, just being able to move my feet, make those routine plays every time, and making good throws, good strong throws. And I think a lot of it had to do with my feet. And we did a lot of work in the offseason, so I think we're going to be good.
We were talking, Danny and I, just about the subtleties of, like, defending at shortstop and catching balls at the right, you know, height on a bounce, or all those things that fan may not see that you have to worry about in terms of movement. Just how much goes into the position and the amount of balls you see, the better you're getting and putting that work in. Do you take infield during the season? Like, what's that like?
Yeah, definitely. You know, there's a routine. There's things that we do before the game, but – you know, just putting yourself in the best position to make the play is the biggest thing, and that was my feet. So the more I can move my feet and put myself in a position to make a play is going to be good.
In terms of base running, stolen base attempts, is it a conscious choice maybe to not run as often, just to try to be healthy and feel good later in the season, or is it something that you now want to, you know, every time you feel comfortable you're going to go? Like, where are you at in terms of that part of your game?
Definitely. You got to stay aggressive. You know, Pyro does a great job over there letting us know what counts or stuff like that to run on, and every chance I get, I want to take that extra 90 feet to help my teammates win, so that's what we're going to do.
So is he giving you, like, for example, you know, 2-1, the last three guys he's had 2-1, it's been off speed, it's been breaking balls, so this might be a good pitch to run on? Is it that advanced, or is it like, hey, here's a tendency? Like, how much is he telling you between?
Yeah, a little bit of both. You know, counts, like off speed, obviously you want to run on, right, or balls in the dirt, trying to get a good read. Mm-hmm. You know, then the pitcher's tendency as well. So if he has a count or something that we can key off on, we can just go. So just staying aggressive every day at first.
I remember from talking to you last year, your kind of way to get away from the game off the field was gaming. Is that still your go-to hobby, or do you do something else?
Oh, yeah, I don't do much. You know, I might game a little bit, just chill, I read a little bit.
Do you golf?
No, I don't golf. Not yet.
I feel like everyone in the clubhouse, all they talk about is golf.
They do golf a lot.
Then you're on the outside, I think. I mean, they're always talking about golf. What are you doing during those conversations?
I don't know. Maybe I'll get in there soon. Maybe I'll get in on a golf.
But are you an outdoors guy at all? Just
Yeah. I sit outside, just chill. I don't do much after the games. But
in terms of, you know, kind of moving through the season, there's so many downs. It's such a game of failure. It's so damn hard, obviously, right? You know it. You're playing at the highest level possible. How do you move on to the next in terms of letting, you know, kind of water off a duck's back? Like, there can be down times. Even the greatest players have slumps and have weeks and months where they can't find water and they fell out of a boat. How do you kind of let that roll off of you and kind of move on to the next?
Yeah, you got to stay present. You got to control what you can. You know, you can't control the outcome all the time, so just control what you can at the plate, whether that's swinging at your good pitches and, you know, in the field as well. Things that happen, you just got to put it behind you. Like I said, it's not as easy as you could say it, but I think that's the biggest part in baseball, being able to stay where your feet are.
Last couple for me. The way you've come back this season and just handled everything that happened last year has been really impressive. The head on your shoulder seems like very positive. No animus toward the team or anything. Like, did that take a little time, or, like, what would you say to people? Because you've handled that adversity very well.
Yeah, like I said, it's a big thing. I'm just putting things behind us and getting better. You know, you just learn from everything that you do. And, you know, you don't take L's. L's are lessons, so we're good.
Last thing would be, when last year went down, I was worried maybe this could affect you wanting to be here long-term, extension or anything like that. Is this still a place you think that you could stay at for your whole career?
I mean, I love D.C. You know, I want to bring a championship back, and I'm going to do whatever I can to do it.
C.J. Abrams on Grant and Danny. I would have been remiss if I didn't bring up what happened at the end of last year. For those of you that don't remember, he got in trouble for staying out late. Team booted him and sent him back to this facility, actually, with just a couple of days left in the season. But I will tell you this. He showed up here seemingly having left that in the rear view. He didn't really hold a grudge about the fact that they had sent him away or booted him. And it seems like his relationships are as strong as they were. Nothing's really changed. And he's gotten rave reviews for the head on his shoulder and kind of facing forward.
He looks great. You know, physically, clearly got after it in terms of trying to add some strength to his game without losing what makes him special, which is, you touched on it, that athleticism and some of those abilities that he has. So this is about becoming a big leaguer, not just making it to the major leagues and playing Major League Baseball, but actually being a big leaguer, that 24/7 professionalism that, you know, isn't always there for young kids. And I get that. At 22 years old, I made some pretty terrible decisions. I didn't have millions of dollars and I wasn't playing in the show. So, you know, what he does and everybody does is under a microscope, because everybody's so interested in it. So you hope that there's that maturation, that growth. And you also talked about it with him when we were talking to him moments ago, is those valleys, if those aren't as steep, if those aren't as bad, you've got some insane numbers coming your way that are very within his grasp. You've seen it for months at a time where he's been one of the best in baseball.
Abrams, with all the games now under his belt at the major league level, he's played in almost 400 games with two organizations, still just barely 24 years old. Think about that. One day, he wants to be a veteran leader, a guy that people look to in the clubhouse and say, let's do it the way CJ does it. Josh Bell has long been that guy. He is back in D.C., got $6 million to come back in DH for the Nationals. We will talk to Bell on Grant and Danny on The Fan in moments.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.